Good evening. Okay, this evening we are learning the Haftorah of the week, which is the Haftorah of Shabbos Rosh Chodesh. It's one of those that we've been through before. I shouldn't say been through. We've discussed at least parts of it before. And again, we'll attempt to learn at least part of it this evening. The Haftorah of Shabbos Rosh Chodesh is from the very end of Sefer Yeshaya. It's Perek Samach Vav, and it's the entire Perek, all of 24 Psukim in Perek Samach Vav. And at the very outset, it's interesting to note that the Mefarshim, such as the Radak, sees Perek Samach Vav as creating, if you will, a sandwich effect. Perek Aleph of Yeshaya, Perek Samach Vav, the first and the last, the opening and the closing. The Radak sees both of these bookends to the Navi Yeshaya emphasizing a common theme. What might that be? So the Radak says, if you look back in the very beginning of Sefer Yeshaya, which is the Haftar of Shabbos Chazon, there the Navi conveys to Klal Yisrael HaKadosh Baruch Hu's message in which he declares or bemoans the fact, Lama li rov zivchechem yomer Hashem. I have no need, God says, for all of your sacrifices, for all of your karbanos. In other words, if you're going to be living a sinful life, then your karbanos are to me undesirable. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Sovati olos elam v'chelef mariam. I have enough of your burnt offerings, your fattened animals, the blood of your bulls and your sheep, lo chafatzti, I have no interest in it, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why? Because living a sinful life and then bringing a kabanos, the kabanos are meaningless. It's that same theme, says the Radak, that we find right here in the beginning of this Haftorah as well, the beginning of Perek Samach Vav, and that is, we find that the pasuk here says, "Ko amar Hashem, so says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashemayim kis'i, the heavens are my throne, the ha'aretz hadom ragloi, the earth is my footstool." And here comes the phrase, "Eza bayis asher tivnu li, ve'eza makom menuchasi." You think that you can build me a home? You think you can build me a place to dwell? A place to rest. In other words, all of the earth is my footstool. All the heavens is my throne. I don't need your Beis HaMikdash. So whereas in the beginning of the Navi, Perek Aleph, the Navi says, I don't need your Karbanos. Here, the Navi is saying, I don't need your Beis HaMikdash. You think you're doing me a favor? I don't need it. And the Radak here writes as follows. The Radak says, I didn't command you to build me a Beis HaMikdash so that I could rest there, dwell there, live there. I didn't command you, says Radak, to offer karbanos so that I could consume them or devour them or eat them. Or we could say that today, God doesn't demand of us to daven because he needs our tefillos. He needs our praise and our thanks. Rather, says the Radak, I did all of this. I gave you all of these mitzvos. Kedei sheyachinu Yisrael libam elai. So that you should be draw closer to me. You should be dependent upon me. Have a relationship with me. Be open to me. V'yihiya lohem makom miyuchad lavosham. So that you should have a designated place to come. L'hispal tadavin, l'halos olos, to bring karbanos. But why? Not because I need it, but l'orer libam, to inspire you, l'vayer hamachshavos haraos, to rid yourself of these inappropriate thoughts, and to consume them, burn them, just like that carbon that is burned on the Mizbeach. So Radak here is describing an interesting imagery. The karbanos is meant to symbolize our riddance of the machshavos raos, our burning, our destruction of those inappropriate desires, much like the karban is being burned and consumed. That's what we are and supposed to be imagining we are doing to our machshavos ra'os as well. So the Radak says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Navi is telling us, if you're going to sin and live a life of sin, and then come to Beis HaMikdash and bring karbanos, so you've missed the point. You've missed the point. That's not what I commanded you to do. So that's what the Radak is saying. The Navi here is giving Klal Yisrael Musar that this is not why I want the Beis HaMikdash. This is not why I want karbanos. And as I said, Bizman Hazat, Bizman HaKorban, it's not why HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants our tefillos. It doesn't need our thanks and our praise. It's to be ma'orer us. It's to open us up to a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But living a sinful life and then thinking, oh, I'll just come and bring karbanos and I'll pay my respects is missing the point entirely. And perhaps, in a sense, we could add to this that, as we so often see, sadly, people come to shul and we are so often distracted by schmoozing with our friends, with our neighbors. Perhaps during the week, it's our smartphone that is constantly preoccupying our attention. So Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need our thanks and our praise. He's asking us to come daven to be me'orer libam elai, to inspire us to draw close to him. What kind of inspiration are we deriving sitting and schmoozing with our friends or looking at our smartphones during the week? We're missing the point. That's not the kavana of the mitzvah. Rather, says the Navi in Pasuk Beis, ve'eskol eile yadi asasa vayihiyu kol eile ne'um Hashem, meaning, I have created everything, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I don't need you to build anything for me. So, or the way the Radak understands the point of the pasuk is, I've created Shemayim and Aretz. I'm not lacking anything at all. So therefore, what do I want, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Ve'el zeh abit, I look for one thing. And here's a key phrase. What does God desire most in Avodas Hashem? Not the coming to the Mikdash, not the Karbanos, not the Tfilos, but rather, el ani unechei ruach. One who is ani, Shmalvim says, outer appearance. Conducts himself with humility. Unechei ruach, and inside as well. There's no arrogance there. The chared al divari, and one who, the word chared literally means to rush, says the Mitzudos Tzion, to hurry, to do God's word. Chared al divari. God looks for this and for this only, the Navi tells us. Ani unechei ruach, he is humble, outside and in, and he's chared al divari. He is so meticulous, so careful, so quick to listen to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. And Malbim adds, this is the purpose of the Mikdash. This is the purpose of the Karbanos, that we are doing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked of us to do. Not that there's a Karban itself, but it's the humility that we demonstrate by doing as HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructed us to do. Following someone else's directives is itself a show of humility. I do as I'm told. It's a show of submission. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking at. Ani unechei ruach v'chared al divari. The demonstration of humility that we express by simply following Ratzon Hashem. Also a very critical yesod that so often the purpose of halacha and mitzvos is just to simply show some humility. You know, we're often inclined to think, I know better, I know best, I'll do as I see fit. And in a sense, what the Navi is telling us is that adherence to halacha, even if, and perhaps especially if, I don't understand exactly why certain things are as they are, but that ultimately is an expression of hachna, of humility, of ani unechei ruach and chared al divari, and that itself is what is of value, to show submission to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ani unechei ruach v'chared al divari. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking for. We find a similar expression, chared al divari. Rashi uses this expression, and you know, it's so interesting. If you go through Chumash and Rashi, you'll come across this, but you won't click that this is what Rashi is perhaps associating with, unless we see the Pasuk in Navi, and then we put the two together. Now, Rashi is quoting Chazal. The Chazal using this phrase for a specific reason. Rashi on the Pasuk in Devarim Perek Daled, Oz Yavdil Moshe, the reference to Moshe Rabbeinu setting aside the Arei Miklat before entering into Eretz Yisrael, which Moshe Rabbeinu never did in the end. And Chazal bothered, why is Moshe setting aside Arei Miklat? The din is that the Arei Miklat, which were the sanctuary cities for one who kills by mistake, where he can flee for safety to escape the pursuit of the relative of the victim of the accidental death, the din is that these Arei Miklat didn't start to function until the corresponding Arei Miklat were established in Eretz Yisrael. So although Moshe Rabbeinu is now setting aside three Arei Miklat in Eivah HaYarden, Betzer, Ramos, Golan, the three Arei Miklat in Eivah HaYarden, even though he's setting aside those three Arei Miklat, they didn't start to function until the three in Eretz Yisrael were set aside. But he never did that in his lifetime. So why is he bothering not to set aside Arei Miklat now? Wait until you get to Israel, and then set aside Arei Miklat both in Eretz Yisrael and Eivah HaYarden, and they'll be set aside and functional immediately. So Rashi quotes Chazal, following phrase, and listen now to the words. Nosan Lev, Moshe made it a point, paid special attention, Leos Chared Ledavar Shuyavdilem, to set aside these cities, but to be a Chared Ledavar, Rashi says. This is in Perek Dalet Pasuk Mem Aleph in Devarim. Rashi, when explaining Moshe's rush, as it were, to set aside Arei Miklat that were not yet functional until after his lifetime, Rashi says that Moshe was Chared Ledavar. He rushed to set it aside. And Rashi quotes Chazal, say, Moshe said to himself, Mitzvah she'ef shalakayma aykamena. If I can do it, I want to do it. It's not yet relevant. The mitzvah's there, I want to do it. Moshe Anav Mikol Adam. Moshe was the one who, more than anyone else, was an Anav. He demonstrated that Anava, that Aniyu Nechei Ruach, by doing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said at the earliest possible opportunity, even though it was so obvious it wasn't necessary, quote-unquote, just yet, but he was Chared Ladavar. That's what Chared Ladavar ultimately means. Beautiful Musar. But the ultimate goal of Avodas Hashem and Mitzvos. The Navi then continues the Haftarah and Pasuk Gimel, once again addressing the same theme of Klal Yisrael living a sinful life and thinking, oh, I'll be Makriv Karbanos, that's just as good. That's all I need to do. And the Navi says, you think so? Shochet Hashor, you're going to slaughter your oxen as sacrifices? Makeish. Then I view it like you're killing a person. The blood is being spilt unnecessarily. Zoveach HaSeh, you're slaughtering a lamb. Oref Kelev, you might as well just break the neck of a dog. There's no benefit to what you're doing. Mala Mincha, you're bringing an offering, Dam Chazir. Okay, it's like the blood of a pig. Mazkir Lavona, you're bringing frankincense on the Mizbeach, you're burning the frankincense. Mevarech Oven, that's like giving a gift, says the Metsudos, that is not appropriate. It's, again, purposeless. There's no point in what you're doing. Mevarech, in this context, says Radak, is the Lashon of Kachna Birchasi. It's a Lashon of a gift, of an offering. So such an offering is undesirable. There's no point in it. It's oven. It's futile. And the Navi concludes by saying, Gam Hema Bachru Bedarcheim Uveshikutseim Nafshem Chafetza. They've chosen their sinful ways. They desire this abominable way of living. Not my way, says God. Their way is what they want. And these karbanos, therefore, are really purposeless. And in Pasuk Dalid, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, so too, Gamani Evcha B'Sa'al Lehem. I will also then choose to make a mockery of them. Umigurosam Avilehem. I'll bring fear upon them. And here's the key line again. Why? Ya'an karasi ve'ein oneh. Because I've called out to them and there's no answer. this conjures up imagery of Shir HaShirim, someone knocking on the door. And we're sleeping, two ways to get out of bed. By the time we get there, there's no one there. So here it goes, well, Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Navi, seems warning us that I've called out to you repeatedly, these Jews living their sinful lives and bringing these undesirable sacrifices, and there's no answer. You're not responding to my message to do tshuva. Dibarti velo shemeo, I've spoken and they have not listened. So Rashi specifically speaks of, what does God call out to us? Shimu shemoa shuvo elai, calls to tshuva that we disregard. When I read these words, I was thinking of how so often there are, call it warning signs, call it God sounding the alarm that we sadly often disregard, as we're sometimes given ample warning that it's Kadosh Baruch Hu's call for tshuva. So in the times of the Nevi'im, it was a Navi who would get up and proclaim Shuvu Eli. Nowadays, without Nevuah, so we have perhaps other, perhaps nonverbal cues when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sounds a call for tshuva to Klal Yisrael. Now, sadly, sometimes it's in the form of an Ace Tzara that we have to respond to with tshuva. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu warns us that when we are living a life that is not desirable, and God calls out, and we don't respond properly. Yan karasi ve'ein ona, dibarti ve'lo shameu, vayasu hara ve'einai, uva'asher lo chafatzti b'charu. And they continuously do that which I don't desire, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They choose that which I don't want. Well, that's why the previous pasuk says, God says, I will choose b'sa'alu lehem, to mock them, u'mugurosam avi lehem, I will bring that which they are fearful of. You know, I can't help but wonder, we can't live in a cocoon. We read day after day, sadly, of Iranians calling for the destruction of the Jewish state. We hear warnings coming out of Tehran that we can fire missiles at Tel Aviv and Haifa. We see rockets already being fired from Lebanon, from Gaza. There is what to be worried about, what to be scared about. Is this not a form of Yan Karasi, of God calling out, sounding an alarm? It's something which we perhaps are inclined to disregard because it's less unsettling to ignore it, but it's a frightening sakana. Back in, was it 1980, when Israel attacked the Iraqi nuclear reactor? To the best of my knowledge, Iraq didn't have the ability to fire back in 1980 Scud missiles to rain down on Israeli cities. That happened in 1991, not in 1980. So the risk was, every Jewish life at risk is a terrible risk to incur, but it was a relatively minimal risk. You fly some planes over Iraq, you hope and pray and daven they don't get shot down in the process, and you hope you succeed in the bombing raid, which they did. Now, when we're facing a similar threat, it is so exponentially magnified in that it's not just figure out a way to get planes over Iran and bomb underground nuclear reactors. This is a country with long-range missiles. This is a country with missiles on the Lebanese border, on the Gaza border, a country that is actively plotting to attack not just Jews in Eretz Yisrael, but sadly, as recent news reports indicated, to attack Jewish centers around the world, which they've done in the past. Think Argentina, bombing in Buenos Aires a number of years back. This is a Sone Yisrael that has such terrible potential to inflict harm. Is this not a Ya'an Karasi, a Dibarti? And if we, God forbid, disregard such calls for tshuva, we don't have the Nevi'im calling out, as Rashi says, Shimu Shamoa Vishuvo Elai, but God is sending messages that are clear and unequivocally clear in very different ways that we can't afford to run the risk of ignoring. So I think reading the newspapers is important, but the reaction is even more important. There has to be a reaction, has to be an appropriate spiritual reaction. It can't be Yan Karasi Ve'ein Ona, Dibarti Veloshe Meyu. So I read these words in the Haftorah, and that's what comes to mind in a very, very frightening, ominous way. The Novi then continues along those lines, Shemu Devar Hashem, listen to the word of God, Hacharedim El Divaro, those that do act quickly to heed the word of God. Amru Achechem Soneichem Minadechem. On the one hand, your brethren, the sinners of Klal Yisrael, says Rashi, who dislike you, who distance you, Minadechem, they kind of step back, don't touch me, don't come close to me. They say, Laman Shmiyich Bar Hashem. They say that what they do is going to give glory to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The way the Metsudos explains it is that these individuals, the Poshe Yisrael, they say that Kavod comes to God through Pirsum Shemi, through my aggrandizement, brings Kavod to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When in fact, says God, V'nira b'simchaschem v'hem yevoshu. It's not so, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'nir b'simchaschem, rather, you, the Charedim El Devaro, you, the ones who follow God's word, will see your celebration. They, in turn, will be shamed. Hem Yevoshu. Those poshim, those sinners who don't listen to God's word, they think that what they do and their self-aggrandizement brings kavod to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It is not so. It is the simcha of the Charedim El Devaro that ultimately we will celebrate, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whereas they will instead suffer shame. When will that happen, says the next pasuk, Kol Sha'on Meir, when there is a large uproar from the city, Kol Mehechal, a sound from the sanctuary, Kol Hashem, the sound of God, Meshalem Gemul Ha'ovav, exacting punishment from his enemies. And the Malbim on these Psukim, actually on the Pasuk of Achechem, Soneichem, Menadechem, which the Mitzudos said means the Poshe Yisrael, the Malbim suggests that what this means is the following, that this is a reference to the Tzivuim, as he calls them. Tzivuim is the hypocrites, the two-sided individuals. Those who the Malbim says, they are on the one hand, Achechem, they present themselves as if they are our brethren in performance of mitzvos, but in fact, they are really Soneichem Minadechem. Deep inside, they don't really identify with the ones who are Yorei Shemayim Be'emes. Deep inside, they're just bringing the Karbanos superficially. And that's who the Navi here is criticizing according to the Malbim's shot. Next, we now segue into a famous mashal. A famous mashal, and that is the next pasuk, which says, B'terem tachil yolada. Before the woman giving birth even experiences the birth pains and the labor pains, she will already have given birth. In other words, Rashi explains this is a metaphor for Tzion, who is the mother in childbirth, or mother-to-be in childbirth. Tzion, Yerushalayim, the Radak says, is compared to the mother giving birth, and it will happen so quickly. It's as if she will have given birth before the labor pains even begin. B'terem yavo chevela, before she even suffers these labor pains, v'hemlita zachar, she'll give birth to a baby boy. So Radak says that this Yeshua's Hashem that we're speaking of is going to happen so suddenly. so quickly. That's the mashal here. Beterem tachil yalada. Before she even experiences the pains, she'll already have given birth. And the Malbim here writes remarkably as follows. The Malbim says, this is a remarkable, just a prediction, again, based on what the Navi himself says. The Malbim writes that what the Nevuah here is referring to is the following, that Zman Rab, a long time, says Malbim, Lefnei Bias HaGoel, before the arrival of the ultimate Redeemer, meaning Mashiach, Yiskabtsu Anashim Mu'atim, Mibnei HaGoel, a small number of men will gather together from the exile, V'yikbu Dirasam V'Yerushalayim, they will settle in Yerushalayim. And why is it so remarkable? Because we now have the benefit of a retrospective look. The Malbim is writing before this happened. We're looking back now, having seen it happen. And he's saying that the Navi, speaking thousands of years ago, is predicting this. That before the Goel arrives, a Zman Rav, a long time beforehand, a small number of men will come from the Golos and settle in Yerushalayim. Think back to 1809. A small group of Talmidei Hagra make their way from Eastern Europe to Eretz Yisrael. Talmidei Hagra going with the blessings of the Vilna Gaon, who had himself attempted to go to Eretz Yisrael, and Talmidim of his, although he himself did not succeed, Talmidim of his, Hillel of Shklov, Reb Sol of Shklov, who left Europe and arrived in Eretz Yisrael and initially were forced to settle in Tzfas because they were not welcomed by the Ottoman Turks in Yerushalayim, but ultimately this succeeded. The first convoy came, left Russia in the winter of 1809. They traveled through cities in Eastern Europe, and at each stop along the way, the various port cities, the Jews there would greet them with songs of Lashana Habab Yerushalayim and send them off to their next stop along that treacherous journey to Eretz Yisrael. So they arrived after 7 months of seasickness and threat of attack along the way. They arrived in Eretz Yisrael. They were forced to settle in Tzfas in 1809. That was the Purushim who were, led by Hillel of Shklov. And then subsequent years, that was Hillel of Shklov, Reb Yisrael of Shklov, they went to Tzfas. And in subsequent years, you finally had Talmidei Hagra coming to Yerushalayim. And in approximately, span of just a few decades, the presence of Jews in Israel doubled by the year 1840 approximately, which was remarkable for that time, to double population in those 30 years or so. And so I wonder, reading the Malbim here, Zman Rav, before the Bias HaGoel, a small group of Jews will come from the Gola and settle in Yerushalayim. You know, is that what he's referring to? Referring to these small groups of Talmidei Hagra who, starting in 1809, set out for Eretz Yisrael, granted first settled in Tzfas because they weren't welcome in Yerushalayim, but ultimately made their way to Yerushalayim as well. The Yishuv HaYoshen, as it's now known. You know, is that what perhaps the Malbim here is claiming that the Navi is predicting will happen, Zman Rav Lefnei Bias HaGoel? So it's fascinating to read this in retrospect now and look back at the history of what we know now and see, wow, this is unbelievable what's going on here. And the Malbim continues and says that after many years, he says, in other words, this initial stage, this incipient stage of the Geula, is the giving birth suddenly without even labor pains. The terem tochil yolada, says the pasuk. The terem yovel chevel lav himlita zachar. So Yerushalayim will have a small childbirth, as it were. Small childbirth. but it's before the main, says Malbim, the main, more difficult Chav Leleda, which will happen later. And Malbim then says that what happens later is the Mechemes Gog Magog. That's the real childbearing pains. The Mechemes Gog Magog, he writes. That will happen later. He says, that's when the kibbutz hagadol haklali will start. That's when the major ingathering will begin. So using our time frame here, 1809 and subsequent decades, that was the relatively minor birth, so to speak. It suddenly happens quickly, small stage, zman rav before the goel, then comes the Mechemes Gog Magog, and then all of a sudden, the kibbutz haklali begins. Has that started already? Very possibly. We now have close to 7 million Jews in Eretz Yisrael, a mere 2 centuries later. There certainly has been what would classify as a Mechemes Gog Magog that Jews have suffered from terribly since that time of 1809, without question. So, could very well be that we're watching this unfold in contemporary modern history as we live through it. Gog and Magog, Mechemes Gog and Magog. It's very possible. That's what I'm saying. I don't know. It could very well be. It could very well be. I don't know. We don't know before it happens. We know looking back, perhaps, that it did happen. It could be. It's hard to know. It's hard to know what exactly the Mechemes that refers to is. That certainly was a terrible Mechemes with terrible Chav Leleda that resulted ultimately in a Jewish state. You know, one could view that as the Chav Leleda and as the Kibbutz HaGadol HaKlali. Suddenly millions of Jews over a span of decades have swarmed to Eretz Yisrael. It's a remarkable, remarkable thing. So that could very well be. Malbim says that's why the initial birth is described as Zachar, one child, the small group that came from the exile. But then the Kibbutz HaGadol HaKlali, the ingathering of so many Jews, that's the Chav Leleda, that's the real birth, which, like you said, could have been the Holocaust, could have been the establishment of the state that followed. Could be the 7 million Jews who are now there as part of the Kibbutz HaGadol HaKlali, very possibly. Pretty remarkable. And then the Navi says in Pasuk Ches, Mi Shama Kezos, who has heard something of this nature? Who has heard something of this nature? Mi Ra'a Ka'ela, who has seen something like this? Hayuchal Eretz B'yom Echad, Emi Valed Goy Pam Echos, Kichala Gam Yolda Tzion Es Baneha. Has anyone heard such a thing that all at once? It's a Pella, says Mesudas David. It's a remarkable, astounding wonder that all at once a nation is born. It is wondrous. It is remarkable that a country that is established 75 years ago now has 7 million Jews living there. Yeah, that's a nation born in historical terms all at once, all of a sudden, an explosion. Hayuchal Eretz B'yom Echad, Emivaled Goy Pam Echas, Kichala Gam Yolda Tzion Es Baneha, that a nation is born certainly in a certain sense all at once, all of a sudden. It's a remarkable, remarkable miracle to be witness to. And the Navi then, in Pasuk Tes, Ha'ani Ashbir V'lo Olid Yom HaHashem, will I, says God, put this, metaphorically speaking, birthing mother on the birthing stool and not allow and enable the birth to follow? Imani Hamolid V'atzati Amar Alakayach, I, says God, if I am the one who enables the women to give birth, would I stop you now, so to speak? Again, a reference to the sudden birth of the nation in Eretz Yisrael, the Yeshuas Hashem that will come so suddenly. The words of the Radak, Pisom Tavo HaYeshua Yisrael, that the salvation will come suddenly. And then, segueing into Pasuk Yud, Navi now begins, Simchu es Yerushalayim v'gilu ba. kol ohaveha, that you will rejoice when you see the rebuilding of Yerushalayim. Sisu ita masos kol hamisablim aleha. Those who witnessed the destruction of Yerushalayim, those who mourned the destruction of Yerushalayim, they are the ones who are going to be zocha once again to celebrate the miraculous rebuilding of Yerushalayim. Beautiful, beautiful imagery. The Malbim writes here that we find in the pasuk a number of terms indicating joy, seemingly synonymous, but in Lashon Kodesh there's no such thing as a synonym. Simchu, that's Yerushalayim. Vegilu, b'kol aveha. Sisu, itamasos. At Simcha, Sason, Gila, or in order, Simcha, Gila, Sason. And the Malbim here writes, he says, Simcha and Gil, or Gila, implies a inner joy, an inner euphoria, but Simcha is a constant state of happiness. Gila is a sudden euphoria that just excites you with wonderful news all of a sudden. That's Gila. Okay, so the Simcha is a constant state of inner joy. The Gila is a sudden, remarkably uplifting good news. And Sason, says the Malbim, is the external. Knows what do those who are celebrating do to celebrate? That's the Sason, the getting dressed up, the dancing, playing musical instruments. That is the Sason. And so those who mourn Yerushalayim will rejoice over Yerushalayim. And Pasuk Yudalef, which is a bit of a break in the Haftorah now, the Ma'an Tinku Usvatem, in order that as you who mourned Yerushalayim did so in order to now Tinku, to receive nourishment from Yerushalayim's rebuilding and to be satiated, Usvata Mishod Tanchumeha, from the fact that Yerushalayim is now receiving such consolation, such comfort. L'ma'an tamotzu v'anagtem miziz kevoda, so that you should be now zocha to drink from and derive pleasure from the glory, the kavod that Yerushalayim will enjoy. Such a beautiful, beautiful imagery. And I know it's only about, not even, just about halfway through the Haftarah, but maybe we'll stop there on that pleasant note. And I think hopefully to enhance our appreciation of the upcoming celebration of Yom HaTzimut this coming week, perhaps put into perspective and see the words of the Navi as being so apropos and so relevant to that which we have Hakaras Tov for in the coming week. Okay. Good evening, everyone. Thank you so much for joining.